الحمد لله وكفى سلام على عباده الذين اصطفى اما بعد اعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولا تاكلوا اموالكم بينكم بالباطل and don't eat up the wealth of each other بالباطل unjustly so this is the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you should not eat each other's wealth, each other's belongings, each other's things unjustly. وَتُدُلُوا بِهَا إِلَى الْحُكَّامِ and do not approach with this إِلَى الْحُكَّامِ towards the authorities لِتَأْكُلُوا فَرِيقًا so that you eat a portion of it مِنْ أَمْوَالِ النَّاسِ out of the wealth of the people bil ismi with sin wa antum ta'lamun and you know that you're doing this unjustly so this ayah of the quran allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ordering us that you should not eat each other's properties each other's wealth each other's belongings whatever is the belonging of one person it belongs to him and you should attain halal means of income You should eat that which is halal and refrain from that which is haram. So that which belongs to you is yours, that which does not belong to you is not yours. And when somebody tries to take things which do not belong to them, then it means they have greed inside of them. And this greed is a spiritual disease. And the Prophet ﷺ has also pointed towards this spiritual disease. And the Prophet ﷺ has said that nothing can satiate a greedy man's stomach. Only the dust of the qabr, the dust of the grave can satiate him. That if a person is greedy, then he will always want that somehow or the other he gets wealth, and he gets maal, and he gets money, and he gets other people's. And he will not even think about who it belongs to, whether it belongs to me, whether it belongs to other people. All he will care about is that somehow I should just get it. So this is what greed is. So greed is a destructive disease. It is this greed that makes people fight among each other. Mostly the fights that we see, and mostly the fights that are on an individual level and the fights that are on an international level. If you see, if you think deeply, the reason behind all of these fights and wars are greed. So the one who does not refrain from being greedy, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has actually praised that person. About this greed, the Prophet ﷺ has also mentioned another hadith, where you see where it is written two mountains, there's a hadith about these two mountains. So the Prophet ﷺ has said that the one who has two mountains of gold, if a greedy man has two mountains of gold, he is going to desire that he gets a third mountain of gold. This is what the greedy man is. That his stomach will never ever be fulfilled. And this, the last thing, is also a hadith of the Prophet. The love of this world is the reason for all sins. So this greed has to be decreased. This greed leads to a person going into embarrassing moments. This is the greed that makes a brother fight a brother. It is this greed that sometimes even the son is ready to fight with the father. So this greed is a big disease. And the one who says that I am only going to eat that which belongs to me, that which is halal, that is a person whom you can say that he is the pious man. So that is why when somebody told Umar radiallahu anhu that, oh, Amirul Mu'mineen, you know such and such person is a very nice man. He's a very pious man. So Umar radiallahu anhu said, don't tell me that he's a pious man. Have you ever traveled with that man? He said, no. Have you ever done any muamala with that man? Any give and take with that person? He said, no. And Umar radiallahu anhu said, then you don't know if he is pious or not. So just by looking at the person, whether he is, you know, doing tasbihat or whether he is praying nawafil prayers, you cannot say whether he is truly pious or not. You will find the person pious when you will see that he abstains, he refrains, he does not want to get into that boundary of halal, of haram. So that is why a lot of people, they believe in Allah, but they don't want to obey Allah. And you say Urdu mein, Allah ko maante hain, Allah ki nahi maante. So Allah ko maanne wale hum sab hain. But it josh se maante hain sare ke sare. He's going to talk about how much we love Allah and how much we should obey Allah. But then we don't want to listen to the orders of Allah. So whoever stays within the boundaries of halal, that is the pious man. The one who keeps on saying that, yes, I love Allah, and Allah is the greatest, and I... Okay, this is all good, and this all tells that you have iman inside of you. But the rank of piety, the level of piety comes in when you are careful about what is halal and what is haram. Just look, Allah Ta'ala orders directly, وَلَا تَأْكُلُوا أَمْوَالُكُمْ بَيْنَكُمْ بِالْبَاطِلِ. Don't eat each other's wealth unjustly. And if you look around, people are very easily eating each other's wealth. Now, there are three types of haram wealth. One is that haram wealth which is tainted with riba, with interest. Then there is haram wealth that belongs to other people and you eat it. Right? For example, a father leaves miras, a father leaves his miras, his wealth behind for the kids, and the boys of the family, they take up all the wealth and do not give it to the women of the family. Now they're eating up the portion that belongs to the women of the family, the girls of the family. So this is also haram. So riba is haram. Eating up each other's wealth is haram. And the third thing is that when you eat that which is not halal, that type of food on which Allah's name is not mentioned. So if you go outside in non-Muslim countries and you eat McDonald's or you eat Burger King, that food, although your earning is halal, you're paying halal money, you have not eaten other people's wealth, but what you have done is that you're eating food that is haram. So there are three types of harams. One is the haram which is tainted with riba. One is the haram that is other people's belongings. And the third haram is when you eat haram food. Right? That on which Allah's name is not mentioned. And when you eat riba, Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, حَرْبٌ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. That when you eat interest, when your income comes from interest-bearing assets, then this is a war with Allah and His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So among all the harams that have been mentioned, none has been mentioned the way this riba has been mentioned. The amount of strength that this ayah has, no other sin has that strength. Allah has mentioned fornication in the Quran, Allah has mentioned thieves in the Quran, Allah has mentioned people stealing things in the Quran. So zina is mentioned, stealing is mentioned, other sins are mentioned. All sins are bad, but the degree of badness that this riba has, the way this has been mentioned, war with Allah and His Prophet, no other sin has been mentioned like this. So this is a very grave, very serious sin. Then eating up other people's belonging, this is also a very grave sin. Prophet asked the Sahaba, do you know who is the miskeen? And miskeen, all of us know. Who is the miskeen? Who's a miskeen in this world? Have you ever seen a miskeen? Huh? A very poor. According to the fiqh, the fuqaha, miskeen is a person who does not have enough to eat for even one day. So his belonging, the total amount of his belonging amounts to so much that he does not have enough to eat for that one day. So this is miskeen. So miskeen is somebody who's poorer than the faqir. Right? There's a faqir and then there's a miskeen. So faqir is somebody who is poor. Miskeen is very poor. Right? So the Prophet ﷺ asked the Sahaba, do you know who the miskeen is? Sahaba said, oh, the Prophet of Allah, you know who the miskeen is. And the Prophet ﷺ said, the miskeen is the one on the Day of Judgment, he's going to go in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he will have a lot of deeds. But he has not fulfilled the rights of people. He has eaten up other people's rights, other people's belongings, other people's wealth. And people will come to him on the Day of Judgment and they will take away his good deeds. And they will start taking his good deeds until and unless none of his good deeds is with him. And he will be a person completely stripped of any good deeds in his books of deed. The Prophet ﷺ said, that is a person who is the miskeen. So maybe you can successfully eat other people's wealth. You can successfully grab other people's belongings. You can successfully not fulfill other people's rights, but on the Day of Judgment, that is going to, you are going to pay for that. So there are three types of harams. One is the riba, and the second one is eating other people's belongings. And the third is when you eat haram food, the food on which Allah's name is not mentioned. When we say in Urdu, jhatke ka gosht, jisko kehte hai na, wo jhatke ka gosht is also not halal. So the third thing is, and all three are mentioned in the Quran. All three harams are mentioned in the Quran. And the third thing is, when you eat the jhatka food, right? The food on which Allah's name is not mentioned. And I mentioned this incident before, that there was this child, and he got the President's Award in the US. And he was a middle grade student. He was a Muslim student. And he got a very, he got a President Award. So at that time, the President was President Clinton. So he got this award from President Clinton. So this was a very big honor for the Muslim community in the United States, that this young boy got this award. And then finally the parents said that, okay, my child should also know how to read the Quran. So they brought him to this Muslim community center. There they had these Quran classes and the children were taught how to read the Quran. So this child, who was such a star student, that he got this presidential award and he was the valedictorian of his school. And he came and he started learning the Quran. And he stayed there for 6 months in the madrasa, in the masjid. And the first, the qaida that you start, right? The qaida that you read before the Quran. He started reading that qaida. It took him 6 months to finish only one page of that qaida. Such a bright student. Valedictorian, president award, all of these things. And he was not even able to complete one page of the qaida in 6 months. So the parents were a little worried about it. So they came and they met with the teachers. And they told the teachers that my child is the valedictorian. And he got the presidential award. And he's very bright. And something is wrong with your school, your Islamic school here, that the child has not been able to finish even one page of the qaida. And generally, kids his age, they're able to do a lot more. So then the principal of the school, he called the teacher and asked the teacher, that do you not give attention to this child? He said, no, I give attention to the child. Then he asked, does the child not pay attention? He said, no, the child also pays attention. So then the principal asked, does he make friends with this other kids in the school and he does not pay attention? He said, no. He pays very good attention. He's always focused on his work. I also give him a lot of time and I understand that he's a very bright child. somehow he has not been able to progress. So everybody was very disturbed and worried. What is the problem? Why is he not progressing? Such a star child. So finally, there was a scholar there, and this whole story was brought up to him. He said, let me talk to the parents of the child. And he talked to the parents of the child, the scholar. And he asked the parents, tell me, what is the schedule of your child? He said, my child goes to school in the morning, then he comes back and he does his homework, and then in the evening he plays, and then around Maghrib time I bring him to the masjid, and then he comes to this masjid and he reads the Quran and he's here till Isha. Then when we go back on our way back, we just buy food and then we go home and we eat, or sometimes we eat on the way. So the scholar asks, where do you eat your food from? And then they mentioned like a few, and this is, we're talking about the US, we're talking about Washington DC, right? So this father, he mentioned that, yes, we get food from Burger King and we get food from McDonald's, and sometimes we have Pizza Hut and sometimes we do all these things. All these boys are laughing, huh? But the McDonald's in the US and the McDonald's and the Burger King in the US and the Pizza Hut is not allowed in the US. And they would eat this haram food very easily. So the scholar said that, I tell you why he is not able to finish this Quran. Why he is not able to do this? Because halal is not entering in his body. So the parents asked, so what we should do? Should we do? How can we, what do you expect from us so that he progresses? So the scholar said, I promise you that if you stop eating haram food and you cook food in your house and you give the child halal food, inshallah he is going to progress. The scholar did not mention how much he is going to progress, but he mentioned that he will progress. It is going to be better than what he is now. So the father and the mother, they promised that from now on we are going to give our child only halal food. The food is going to be cooked in our house. We will not take him to all these fast food restaurants which serve haram food. And the parents were very strong on this. So the child who was not able to finish one page in 6 months, in the next 6 months he was able to finish the whole Qaeda. He was also able to finish the whole Quran in the next 6 months. So this is how much this haram affects the body. In English there is a saying, you are what you eat, right? So that is, you know, this is actually the nutritionist way of saying that if you eat fatty foods, you will become fat, right? But this is what the Muslims also say, that you are what you eat. If you eat halal, then you will feel like doing halal things. If you eat haram, then you will feel like doing haram things. So there are three types of harams. One is the interest-based haram. One is the haram is that food or that wealth which does not belong to you, it belongs to other people. And the third is that haram on which other people, on which Allah's name is not mentioned. If we understand how much haram food can affect us, then we will definitely, we will never, ever, ever even eat a morsel, a bite of haram. Somebody came to Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu and said, this is food, this is gift for you, please have some. And he ate some food from it. Another friend of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu came to him and he said that the food that has come, we don't know if it is halal or haram, it is doubtful. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu put his finger in his throat and he vomited everything out. So the person asked, why did you do this? He said, I cannot bear a single bite of haram food inside of my body. Because when you eat haram, then you will want to do haram. Then your actions will also be haram. So generally people who don't feel like worshipping Allah, who don't feel like going to the masjid, if you look closely into their lives, one or the other type of haram is going inside their diet. And that is why the body does not respond. The body is not eager to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So story is mentioned in the books of history that there was this man, a young man, a very pious young man. He used to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He used to read Quran and Hadith. And he was a very, very pious young man. But he was very poor. So he was walking past by the stream, and in that stream was an apple that was coming from upstream. And he saw that apple coming down, and he was so hungry that when the apple came near to him, he grabbed the apple. And because he was hungry, he ate the apple. Now after eating the apple, he thought that, you see, this apple does not belong to me. And that which does not belong to you is not halal for you, right? وَلَا تَأْكُلُوا, what is the ayah of the Quran? وَلَا تَأْكُلُوا أَمْوَالُكُمْ بَيْنَكُمْ بِالْبَاطِلِ. So don't eat that which does not belong to you. Now this came in his mind. How can I have this haram piece of food inside of my body? So he was very, very frustrated and he was very, very unhappy about this. So then this thought came to his mind. Then maybe what I should do is I should just start walking by the stream and there will be a tree of apple. And then I will ask people, whoever this tree belongs to, I will ask him that if there is anything I can pay to you, I will pay to you. So he started walking, he walked for a couple of hours, and he finally reached that tree on which there were apples. And he had this feeling that the apple has fallen from that tree in the stream, and I had gotten this apple. Now he started looking for the owner of the tree, that who's the owner of the tree? And he found the owner. And he said to the owner, you see, I am a very poor person. And this apple actually came down from your tree. And I was walking past by the stream, which is a couple of hours away. And I saw this apple, and I picked up the apple and I ate. So this was not halal. So can you forgive me for eating this, so that this halal becomes, this haram becomes halal? He said, no, I don't forgive you. So now he was very surprised. But if he does not forgive me, that means haram is entering my stomach. So he said, okay, tell me how much I need to pay. I don't have money now, but I will work and I will earn this money and I will give it to you. He replies that no amount of money can be the price of this apple. Now, he was so sad. He was like, have mercy on me. How can you say that no amount of money could be the price of this apple? So that means you would want this apple to be haram inside of my body. He said, I will be ready to do anything for you if you forgive this apple. If you forgive me for eating this apple. He said, there's only one thing you can do. If you do that thing, then I'll forgive. He said, what is that thing? He said, I have a daughter. And she is blind. And she is deaf. And she is dumb, she cannot even speak. And she is handicapped with the hands, she has no hands. And she is handicapped with her legs as well. And she is a young lady. And if you marry that girl, then I will forgive you for eating the apple. SubhanAllah. Now, this man was surprised. If you marry somebody like that, who's blind and who's deaf and who's dumb and who's handicapped with hand and legs, it's just like marrying a corpse, right? It's like marrying a dead person. Young people don't marry like this, right? Young people want to actually marry a very good looking girl, right? And they choose from many different girls. And girls choose from many different boys. So it is very difficult to marry such a person. So he thought for a little while, can I actually marry this girl? But he was so fearful of having haram inside of his body that he agreed to this old man. Okay, fine, I'm going to marry this girl. Allah. This is incredible. Somebody is so fearful about eating haram.
So now,
he agreed that, okay, I'll marry your daughter.
He had not seen the daughter.
So the father said, yes, okay, let's go to the masjid and let me just do the nikah. And the nikah was performed. And then that night, he went inside the room and he saw the girl.
When he saw
the girl had eyes. She could hear properly. She could speak. The hands were okay. The legs were okay. She was actually very beautiful. And she had a very good character. When she spoke, she spoke very well. And he was so happy. But he was also very surprised. The description that the father gave me was completely wrong. So he spent the night, and the next morning he went to the father of the girl. And by mistake you sent me to the wrong girl. He said, no, this is my girl. This is my daughter. He said, why did you say that she was blind? He said, I said about my daughter that she's blind. Because she has never ever seen any man with these eyes. She has never seen any na-mahram with these eyes. This is how pious my daughter was. And why did you say she was deaf? He said, I said this because she has never ever listened to any conversation of any na-mahram man. Why did you say that she was dumb and she could not speak? Because she has never ever had a conversation with the Nanahir. This is how pious my daughter is. And why do you say that she's handicapped with her legs? He said, because she has never ever gone out of the house without my permission, as if she does not own her own legs. And then the father said, that because my daughter was so pious and so fearful of Allah, I thought that a match for this girl should be a person who is equally fearful. When you came to me asking forgiveness for eating just one apple and you walked for such a long time, I thought that you are the person who is fit for my daughter. So I tested you and you fulfilled this test. So that is why I gave the hand of my daughter in your marriage. This woman, this girl was the mother. And this pious man was the father. And the child that they gave birth to was the greatest scholar of the Islamic history by the name of Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani rahimahullah. So when you eat halal, then you do halal. That is why it is very, very important what type of wealth you're using, what type of food you're eating, where does your wealth come from and where do you spend your wealth? So now, it is easy to know if your wealth is halal or haram when you know the source of your wealth, right? If the source of your wealth is, let's say, stealing, right? Then you know that your wealth is haram, right? If your source of wealth comes from, let's say, bribery, then you know that your wealth is haram. Imam Malik rahimahullah says that we can tell the source of the income by looking at how that income is spent. If your income is being spent on haram things, that means the source behind is also haram. When you earn it through halal channels, then generally you will spend on halal things. And when there is haram mixed in it, then you will also spend it on haram things. So Imam Malik rahimahullah used to say that we could tell whether the income is halal or not by looking at where that income is being spent. So our mashayikh, the scholars of this ummah, are very careful about where they would spend. So this greed has to stop. Once you are not greedy, then it is easy to live a halal, lawful life. Now you see Allah Baksh and greed for food. This Allah Baksh was a man, And I don't know if he is alive anymore. But Allah Bakhsh used to live in an area called Chakwal. Chakwal is a city in northern Pakistan. Allah Bakhsh was a man who had this greed for food. So he would eat a lot of food. And he would always go to his friends asking for food. So some people have greed for some things and some people have greed for other things. Now, in the 70s, there was a movement in Pakistan. And in that movement, the movement was about some issue. All the scholars were actually filling up the jails. They were themselves going up to the police station and they were saying, they put us in the jail. So big scholars, they were actually putting themselves in the jail. So jails were filled with scholars, with ulama. So two of the very big scholars of Pakistan, they were in one jail. And Allah Bakhsh also was in that one jail. Right? So they were not criminals. Right? They were part of that movement of filling up the jails. Now when these two scholars, they were in the jail, because they were so renowned, people would come and they would bring sweets for them. Right? And lots of sweets would just gather in their room. So the sweet amounted to about 10 kgs of sweets. So the two scholars, they discussed among themselves, what should we do with this? We can't eat all of this. So they said that there are many, many scholars in the jails. Why should we not invite them for breakfast tomorrow morning? And there's 10 kgs of sweet. So even if somebody eats 1/4 of a kg, we can invite at least 40 people. So they said, fine, we'll invite 40 people. And they ordered this man in the jail that you should make 40 cups of tea. So we'll have 40 cups of tea and 40 pieces of sweet. Somebody said that, Shaykh, don't invite people yet, because Allah Bakhsh is also in the jail. And if Allah Bakhsh comes to your breakfast, then he will probably eat a lot of food. So the Shaykh said, how much can he eat? He said, you don't know how much he eats. So the Shaykh said, okay, fine, just invite Allah Bakhsh first. Once he eats his food, then he goes and then we'll invite the rest of the people. So they had ordered 40 cups of tea and 10 kgs of sweets, mithai, right? 10 kgs of mithai. And right after Fajr prayers, Allah Bakhsh was invited. That Allah Bakhsh, come, and you have been invited to the breakfast. Now this big scholar, he was sitting there and there was 10 kgs of sweet and there was 40 cups of tea. And Allah Bakhsh started eating, and this is not false story, this is actual story. And Allah Bakhsh started eating, and he kept on eating and eating, and he started drinking the tea. Alhamdulillah, he finished all 10 kgs of mithai and 40 cups of tea. And then after finishing all that 10 kgs of mithai and 40 cups of tea, he started looking here and there, if there's something else left, right? And he could not find anything. And immediately he said to the scholar, the sheikh who was there, the Shaykh, I have to actually go. I have to run, I have to go. Now the Shaykh said that somebody who's eating 10 kgs of sweet, he probably now has to go to the bathroom and he's feeling very bad in his stomach. And the Shaykh was also very upset. Look at the amount of food he's eating. So he said, no, you're not going anywhere, just sit here. Why are you in such a hurry? Tell me. He said, the reason why I'm in a hurry is because this is free breakfast for me. The actual breakfast is at a friend's house that I have to go. So this was Allah Bakhsh. So the greed cannot finish. So the greed has to be controlled. So once this greed is finished, then it is easy to live a halal life. Khaja Abdul Malik Siddiqui rahimahullah ta'ala was a very big shaykh of his time. And he had decided that not only he is going to eat halal, but he's only going to eat that food which is cooked by a person who prays 5 times a day. This was his decision. And he was very, very adamant about this. And he was not a shaykh who used to live in his house. And the cook of the house was 5 times a day. He also traveled a lot. Sometimes his travel would be about 6 months. He would travel all parts of India, inviting people to the deen of Islam. And obviously when you travel so much, not everybody is praying 5 times a day. But he would make sure that the food that has been prepared for him is prepared by a person who prays 5 times a day. And sometimes he would not find people, so he would spend days He would spend days not eating food, just eating, you know, maybe sometimes he would eat chickpeas, sometimes he would eat biscuits, sometimes he would eat something which is not uncooked food. So he did this for years and years. And when you do this, Allah Ta'ala says, if somebody is very pious, if somebody does nawafil ibadah, then Allah Ta'ala becomes the eyes with which he sees. This is the hadith of the Prophet. If somebody does a lot of ibadah, right, and he's very, very careful about what he eats, then Allah Ta'ala becomes the eyes with which he sees. And truly this has happened with the Shaykh. A time came in his life that he would sit down and food will be brought in front of him. He would look at the food, and by looking at the food he could tell whether the food is halal or if it is haram. And truly Allah had become the eyes with which he saw. In fact, a group of scholars, because this thing became very popular, that the Shaykh can actually look at the food and tell whether it is halal or haram. So a group of scholars said, okay, why don't we test it? So what they did was, they invited him for dinner, and they cooked many, many different items, food items. All were cooked with haram income, except for one item, and that item was put all the way at the end of the table. And they said, Shaykh, please come and start eating. And the Shaykh looked around and kept on looking and looking and looking. And finally, he pointed at that item, which the only one item that was halal on the table. He said, bring me that item, I'm going to eat from that item. So when you eat halal, then you do halal. So Allah Ta'ala says, can you go back to the ayah? وَلَا تَأْكُلُوا أَمْوَالُكُمْ بَيْنَكُمْ. Don't eat each other's wealth. بِالْبَاطِلِ unjustly. وَتُدْلُوا بِهَا إِلَى الْحُكَّامِ. And don't approach the authorities. لِتَأْكُلُوا فَرِيقًا. So that you eat parts of the wealth. مِنْ أَمْوَالِ النَّاسِ. That belongs to people. بِالْإِسْمِ. By sinning. وَأَنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. And you know that you're doing wrong. One last thing I will mention, and we'll finish this class inshallah. There's this Arab man, an Arab trader, and his trade used to be in the Hijaz, in Makkah al-Mukarramah, in Medina Munawwara, and also he used to go to Syria for his trade. So he would spend 4 or 5 months in Syria, in Sham, and the rest of the time he would spend in his house in the Hijaz. So he had this house in Hijaz, and he had a wife and he had kids. But then when he would spend 4 or 5 months in Sham, in Syria, then he would want that he should get married. But he was scared of his first wife. If I get married, then the first wife is going to get very upset. But finally he decided that, okay, instead of committing sins, instead of committing fornication, it is better that I get a second wife in this area. And the first wife would not even know. So he got married. So when he got married, life became easier for him. When he came back to his first wife after 4 or 5 months, the wife could actually feel that something is wrong. You know, the wives understand their husbands very well. In Urdu we say, badle badle mere sarkar nazar aate. Badle badle sarkar nazar aate. So the wife thought there's something wrong somewhere. So she said to one of the old ladies in the house, now why don't you go and check? Why don't you travel all the way to Sham, all the way to Syria, and see what he is doing there? This old lady went there, and she finally found out that the husband has actually gotten married. When she found that out, she got very upset. And she was very angry. But she was a pious lady.
And she was also very, very, what you could call it, she was very intelligent as well. And she said, okay, fine. If I tell my husband that I know that he is married, then it will be out in the open. And then he will openly show his affection towards the second wife, and I might not enjoy that. So she said, let me just keep this a secret. A couple of years passed, and this man died. And this man was a trader, and he was a very rich man. So when the when all his wealth was distributed among the heirs of the family, his wife got 8 bags of gold and silver. This was his the portion that the wife got. Now nobody in the world knew that she's not the only wife. There's actually 2 wives. And if there are 2 wives, then 8 bags will be distributed between the 2 wives. So one wife is going to get 4 bags, and the other wife is going to get 4 bags, right? But nobody in the world knew. But that 4 bags did not belong to this woman. And she said, I cannot eat other people's wealth. This wealth does not belong to me. It belongs to this woman living in Syria. So after pondering upon this for a long time, she finally decided that this is not my wealth. Out of these 8 bags, I'm going to keep 4. And the rest of the 4, I'm just going to ship it to her. So this old lady who went to see this woman, she gave these 4 bags to this old lady, that go, tell this lady, the second wife, that the husband has died, and this is her part of the share. So this old lady took this part. Now just look at the amount of God consciousness. This is what you call piety. That you don't eat that which does not belong to you. And giving away 4 bags of gold and silver is not easy. It is easy to say, it's not easy to do. Especially for a woman. So she took all these 4 bags and she gave it to the second wife. And when the second wife heard that the husband died, she also cried. But then she said that the first wife is a very pious lady, and I am very impressed by her. But let me tell you, I will also be a fearful servant of Allah. And I will tell you truly that before he went last time from Syria, he divorced me, I am not the second wife. All of these 8 belongs to the first, all of these eight bags belong to the first. So I cannot eat up the wealth that belongs to that. Lady, take these all 4 bags back to that. So when people are conscious that they should not eat up other people's wealth, then things like this happen. May Allah give us the strength to only eat halal and refrain from haram. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله.